Hi everyone, welcome to another exciting session of the LambdaTest Experience Series. I'm your host Kavya, Director of Product Marketing at LambdaTest, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you all with us today. Today's session is all about reinforcing cybersecurity practices beyond functional testing, a crucial topic for software professionals navigating the digital age. Let me introduce you to today's guest on the show, Olubukola Omotayo, fondly known as Bukola, Director of Software Quality Assurance at Home Trumpeter. With over 18 years of expertise in software testing across technology, finance, and property management, Bukola is a trailblazer in the QA field. Today, she'll guide us through an engaging discussion on integrating cybersecurity practices into testing. She'll also shed light on why functional testing alone is insufficient and share practical insights for fostering a collaborative cybersecurity culture. So let's jump straight into the heart of today's discussion. Bukola, why don't you share a bit about yourself and your QA journey with our audience?
Okay, hi, Kavya. Thank you so much for having me around. It's a privilege, and I say a big thank you for that. Okay, so I got into software testing. I stumbled into it, actually. I didn't even know there was a career that existed called software testing. So I had to navigate my way around and read books, make researches, until I found out that there was actually something so called, and there was a career path that looked like that. So that's how I started. I started just by testing apps, testing web applications. Just they have something to do and I offer. I can test this because I've always had an eye for detail. And I like things to work really well. So that's how I started. And so my journey from web applications, got into API testing, mobile app testing in different genres. But particularly, I have dwelled a lot of years in the financial sector. Right now, I'm in the property management sector, but all in IT. And I've had the privilege of being in different roles and wearing different caps. I'm very passionate about mentoring the next generation testers. I'm passionate about knowledge sharing. And now I'm very passionate about security and how there can be a fusion between it and software testing. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Bukola, for that wonderful brief about your journey. So let's get started with the questions for you. The very first one, what are some of the most common security vulnerabilities that functional testing might be missing?
Okay, so functional testing, like we all know, basically it's, you want to run through the application end to end, just trying to verify and check, actually, if the application of the system under test works as required or works as prescribed. However, when in the bid of doing just functional testing, there are certain things that you get to miss out. For example, people are unlikely to miss out on impute-based attacks. For example, you just want to log in into an application, whether it's web, whatever it may be, or even an API, and you're not checking for SQL injections. There can be SQL injections, there can be buffer overflows, there can be cross-site scripting. Those are one of it. People sometimes, during functional testing, you do not pay particular attention to authentication and authorization. Are there weak password policies? Is there a way somebody can hijack the session? Are there broken access control? Also, there can also be configurational flaws, something misconfigured. Are there ways where default credentials have been used for certain of the components? Also, the business logic. Sometimes you do not get to sit down and test the business logic. Is there somewhere along the process flow where someone can bypass certain things? Also, data protection. Are you checking for every data that you impute? Is it protected while in use? Is it protected in transit? Is it protected at rest in the database? You know, things like that are few of the things. Also, compliance issues. Are we looking to ensure that the application conforms to the regulations, regulatory compliance in the country of use, like the PCIDSS when you have card transactions, like the HIPAA in the United States for health, so many things. Also, you could also overlook activity logging. Everything I do, or maybe not everything, everything that is critical, is it being logged? Those are a few that I can mention. So those are things that you can actually miss when you just concentrate just strictly on functional testing and you do not have an understanding of certain security features that you need to look out for.
Thank you so much, Bukula, for shedding light on that. It is very interesting to know that, particularly because security issues are something that lurk, and it's unexpected a lot of times, and especially that you highlighted about the compliances that are such a big part, especially when it comes to enterprises out there. So thank you so much for shedding light on that. Moving on to the next question.
Right.
Can you share some specific examples of how testers can integrate security practices into their existing testing processes, without actually requiring a complete overhaul?
Okay, all right. I'll tell testers you do not need to get a cybersecurity degree in order for you to, get involved with security. One, I would like to say just get involved with security awareness. Let testers in the organizations or they personally just seek out security awareness training. Also, for example, if you're embedded in an organization, try and integrate security testing into your test strategy such that it becomes part of the framework. Through the software development lifecycle, they have secure coding practices. You're also able to imbibe static testing. You can use tools. That static testing is you are testing the code while it is not being executed. You could, if you can, get involved with dynamic security testing. Also, on the basics, you could decide to have a security checklist such that for every application or for every system under test that you need to test, you have a checklist. For example, you can ask yourself, are the passwords encrypted while in transit, when it goes through APIs? Are the passwords encrypted when they're in the database? For example, let me just do a quick digression. There was an application some years back that I was testing, and of course, just looking at it functionally, you could put in your username and password. That was fine. On the front end, the password field was maxed. So, meaning you could actually not see the password. And then you get into the database and you can see that, okay, the database looks encrypted, but by the time I was reviewing the logs, I noticed that while that the data was being transmitted via the APIs, voila, the password was right there in real text. So those are some of the things you can add into your checklist. Check that. Then, is authentication in place? Is authorization in place? How about your input validation? Check different kind of things that you some on unusual kind of input validation, your database, your login and monitoring, your API securities, just don't security testing, just don't verify that you get a response code and it's fine. No, why don't you try something different? Try initiating requests with invalid tokens and see that the request gets rejected. Those kind of things are ways by which testers can begin to start, little baby steps in order for them to arrive at that part.
Thank you so much, Bukula, for those actionable items. I made a note of it. So, to sum it up, you need to get involved with security awareness, then integrating security into the test strategy. That in itself seems to be a pretty, interesting, action item that testing teams and leaders can implement. And of course, securing the coding practices and checklist for security testing. So thanks for sharing this. On that note itself, just wanted to understand how did you go about building that checklist for security testing, and especially, as a QA leader, how do you approach that?
Okay, right. This is how that started. There's this OWASP 10. It's available online. By the time I started getting interested in security, by the way, the essence of security is we want to ensure that whatever it is that we're doing, the data that is involved, there's confidentiality, there's integrity, there's availability, and now we've even added two more. Two more has been added. There's non-repudiation, and then there's authorization. So by the time I started getting interested and I began to, read up, that's where I got from this OWASP 10. It broke down. It always gives the top 10 vulnerabilities in different genres. Yeah, so for example, you have for the web application. So I began to read through, and then when I began to see the top 10 and broke it down the different kind of vulnerabilities, so from there I began to drop those kind of checklists to look out for. So it becomes like a playbook so that each time someone is testing, you can look through it and okay, if what I'm testing falls into this category, these are the kind of things I need to take into consideration while I'm testing for security. I hope that answers your question.
Absolutely, it does. Thank you so much. And it's also interesting to see how even small adjustments can create such a significant impact.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. Moving on to the next question, beyond the technical aspects, how can we foster a collaborative culture within development teams, testing teams, where everyone feels responsible for security?
Interesting. All right. One, I think there needs to be training awareness. Let the entire team get to understand what's at risk. And begin to let us see from real life examples the impact of not incorporating security into the products that you churn out. Just let the team get aware. And by the time we can organize security awareness training between the teams, you could decide to simulate attacks and let them see the impact. You could also have gamification experiences, something to make it fun. I like fun while working. So, for example, you could decide we want to conduct a capture the flag exercise where the developers and the testers are supposed to, look around and compete to find vulnerabilities. Just any way to ensure that they are coming together. You can also have joint security exercises, reviews. You can simulate a breach and let's all discuss it. Then, also importantly, perhaps we can even have shared KPIs, key performance indicators. We could decide that we want everybody involved, so we want security to be part of the KPIs that is shared by everyone. And also, very importantly, in this collaboration between testers and developers, there shouldn't be it should be a blameless culture. We shouldn't be throwing blames around. Okay, well, it was because you didn't do this, it's because you didn't do that. Let's just collaborate and look for how to learn from security failures and instead of assigning blames. Yeah, so those are the kind of tips at least I can proffer for to just bring about collaboration.
Thank you, Vakula. That's a fantastic perspective, of course. And as we hear a lot of QA leaders speak about this so much, that building that testing culture is a shared responsibility. Similarly, incorporating security into testing is definitely a shared responsibility too. And you also mentioned about the shared KPIs. If you can double click on that, right? What do you have any suggestions for QA leaders on what kind of KPIs would they should be building, especially for both development and testing teams?
Okay, so for example, we could decide we want to have certain metrics tied to security, even though it could be quite subjective. But however, it gives everyone on the team a sense of responsibility and accountability because it's part of my KPI. Meaning, the developer, if ensuring you incorporate security coding practices that are already, given as part of the framework for your organization, is part of your KPI, then you need to get down to that. So you could decide to say, okay, we want to, in order for us to reduce the number of vulnerabilities, it's subjective, honestly, but perhaps, maybe for starters, we could decide to say the metric is tied to the number of vulnerabilities that comes out from a product that you're handling. So perhaps that way it will encourage each person to live up to expectation. Same way for the testers, you could decide for products that go through you, are there vulnerabilities? Are there bugs that are tied to security that were missed, so that way everybody gets to understand it's a shared responsibility. All of us have a task to ensure that this product we good. It's our customers can be rest assured to use them, and they know we're secured. Our data is secured. Our personal information won't get leaked out through a data breach or anything.
Great. Thank you so much, Rukula, for sharing those insights. Moving on to the next question, with growing adoption of DevSecOps practices, how can testers effectively collaborate with security professionals just to ensure a holistic approach to software security?
A fantastic question. From my experience, not all organizations have security testing embedded within the team of developers. Where in this context, I'm referring to developers as the team of the developers and the testers. Quite a number of organizations probably would have a security team that are dedicated to security. However, some of the things we're talking about is how to ensure that from the start, both the developers and the testers already have security built into what they do. So one is early engagement, and which it cannot be overemphasized, where the entire team put together, the developers, security operatives, even the operations, like you mentioned in DevSecOps, already have an understanding of security is paramount. So once we have that early engagement, right from the onset, from the moment where you have a business requirement, for example, you can sit down, look through it, through the design, you can begin to already incorporate security into it before even coding starts. So that way, and like I said before, you can incorporate security into your test strategy. You can incorporate security into your development framework. So that way, you are already bringing everybody together. Also, from time to time, for example, the experience I've had is you do your product is getting ready. You probably send it to the security team to help you do vulnerability assessments, to help you do penetration testing, and things like that. There has to be a collaboration. So part of what I would suggest or just is have regular cross-functional communication and collaboration with all the teams, including the security teams. Also have use of shared tools. We have tools that bind us together. Jira, GitLab, Jenkins, whatever, have something where all of us have a view into it so that we all know we own this. Then also very importantly is that we can also have a knowledge sharing, knowledge exchange between the security team and the development team, where they let us know, because the developers are going about their developing business, they probably may not know when there are zero-day attacks. Zero-day attacks refer to vulnerabilities that are new. But when you have knowledge sharing sessions with your security team, they can begin to let you know something is out there. Going forward, what we used to do this way, or this encryption algorithm that used to work then, is now exploitable. We need to move to something else. So those are the kind of things that We can also they can also be threat modeling. Threat modeling is, and I really like this a lot because that means you can sit down and let's model a threat from how many angles. Let's look at it, put myself in the from the perspective of a user, from the perspective of a fraudster, from the perspective of someone that wants to initiate an attack, and let's model the threat. So that way we're able to also pinpoint gaps or vulnerabilities that may exist within the product. And of course, we also have you can, automation tools for the CI/CD pipeline. You can also do that. Just make sure that everybody e comes together in order to do this.
Great insights, Vakul. It was really interesting because you've shared so many actionable tips that I'm sure our listeners would benefit from. Would you also help me understand more about how did you go about the threat modeling aspect of it? What was the framework that you or the structure that you went about designing it?
Okay, so the threat modeling actually depends on the product that you are building. You could decide, think through it. For example, let's say it's an app that has just been built. It's a financial app. We could decide and let's model what kind of threats. What if we have fraudsters that are trying to intercept? What can go wrong? Where can it go wrong? Ask yourself some critical questions and then let's begin to do it. Do SQL injections. Do your use your Bob suite and just perform some dynamic testing, do pen testing, do vulnerability assessments. Just put yourself in the shoes, like I said, of different threat actors and just begin to say what can go wrong. What if it's a mobile app and your phone gets stolen or misplaced and somebody picks it? What is achievable? Is the application of the product secure enough such that if anyone wants to, breach it, are there multi-factor authentication such that there are certain things? Or is it possible for someone to just pick up the app and onboard without anything external to who I am, them being available, different use cases that you can threats that you can build and then run through it and let's see how does that work. Are there vulnerabilities we can identify? If there are, then we can get back to the kitchen to go fix some of those vulnerabilities.
Thank you so much, Vakula. Moving on to the next question, how can we balance the need for early security testing to prevent vulnerabilities with the potential for delaying development timelines?
This is always the elephant in the room. Business always wants the product to get to the market, and they don't mind sometimes the shortcuts. But as custodians of quality, and now when I'm talking about custody, I'm talking about the entire team, we cannot afford to have shortcuts. A secured product arriving late is better than an insecure one arriving on time because the long-term reputational and financial damage that can be caused by security breaches, it outweighs the benefits of a very fast release. That being said, it also does not mean that we need to take into consideration the fact that we need to also arrive at the market on time so that the product can have its own fair share of the market. So what I would prescribe or offer things that we have used is shift left testing. I'm sure quite a number of us would have heard that, and it just pretty means let's start the testing on time. Do not wait until. Of course, that's using the waterfall methodology you have to go through. If it's agile, whatever methodology it is that is being imbibed in your organization, ensure that you shift it left. You shift your testing left. So that means you start your testing on time. I have referred to that earlier on. It means right from the document, you are looking through it, you are just scrutinizing it and let's see, are there any gaps in here? Then review your architecture. When the design is coming up, can we have a picture? I didn't used to like architectures because I felt they were really technical and complex, but over the time, I value architectural program product designs a lot because by the time you take a look at it, you can actually look and see anywhere where a threat actor can permeate. So you can do that. Then also risk-based testing. That is a perspective. Sometimes you are not able to finish testing because okay, so the balance or the compromise is let's identify where are the risk-based areas. Let's call the business or call whoever it is that is a product owner. Okay, can we know have a risk analysis or risk assessment of this product? Where are the risk areas based on interactions also with the product or with the architecture? Where are the risk areas? Let's focus on that. When we focus on that, we may decide to look the other way if we need to get to market area because we know we would have tested the really high priority areas. Also, we could also decide to run parallel tests, meaning I may decide I do not wait until one phase is over before I start another phase when it comes to security. I may decide I want to run parallel testing. I may decide, okay, once I'm done, functional, not functional, and the product is good, perhaps we can begin to start our penetration testing or all our security te checks side by side. Also, like I said, like the agile methodology, let's increment. Why not do a little now? We put churn that out. Do a little so that there is the balance of ensuring our system under test or our product is secured and it also arrives on time.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bukula, for that thoughtful answer. It's also pretty reassuring to see and hear how, the balance can be achieved without actually compromising on quality of the test or, the speed of releases, for instance. Also a phrase that stood out for me was how custodians of quality can't afford shortcuts. I think this should definitely go onto my LinkedIn post when I put this across because very interesting. Also, thanks for breaking it down so clearly for our listeners. Moving on to the next question, for testers who are new to cybersecurity, what resources would you recommend to help them learn more about essential security concepts and best practices? Of course, you have already spoken about how testers should be a part of this collaborative effort and so on, but what are the specific resources that they should look into?
Okay, right. Number one, I would say have a good understanding of security vulnerabilities. What does that really mean? You do not need to get in depth. And like I said, the OWASP top 10, it's a recommendation. It's a deal breaker for me. That helped me when I was trying to understand security isn't just for networks. Excuse me. It's also, I was shocked to find out some of the figures and some of the things I read when I began to, make these researches to find out that, oh, there are actually a lot that I, as a tester, can actually also contribute to testing. So one, OWASP top 10. OWASP top 10 is it's available for different areas. It's available for mobile, it's available for web, it's available for APIs. It's available and it's free. It's out there. Just begin to have an understanding. Just begin to read it up. Also, you can also have online platforms that you can begin to take free courses. Udemy, Coursera. Then there is this really nice OWASP juice shop that you can use for practice for common vulnerabilities. That's where I got to practice for the first time, where I was able to penetrate an application and be able to exfiltrate some data and credentials without even being able to log in into the application. So you get hands-on. And then one which I'm particularly excited about and I really like is TryHackMe. TryHackMe is a gamified learning path. It's games, but within the fun, it gets to teach you security. So they have different rooms. You could learn about penetration testing. You learn from the basics. You've got, and you can actually just graduate from beginners to intermediate to professionals. So I'll say try it out. And for me, the beauty about the TryHackMe is they also have area where you can practice. So you just not to read. Whatever it is you read, you have access to a virtual machine or an area where you can go ahead and try out whatever it is you did. So you're beginning to have an understanding. It's one thing for you to read, it's another thing when you begin to practice it. And with these things, the practice becomes, the muscle memory where the time you begin to practice and practice. Also, it's also nice to join communities. I've learned a lot by being members of or by joining communities in the testing communities, in the cybersecurity community. It's just that there's just so much out there that sometimes you need to hone your own skills and prove the knowledge. I'm not in the category of I jump on the bandwagon of everything that comes out. I want to go learn it myself. But joining the community gives you exposure because you have people worldwide right there, maybe if it's on LinkedIn or in those communities that can begin to give you, tips from their own experiences. Then also you can also decide from tools. You want to get your hands dirty with some of those tools, you can go ahead. There are free ones where you can exercise. You also have some books, but for me, I started with the OWASP.ten, and I think it's the basic place to start, and then the TryHackMe.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Bukola, for that detailed overview. And how definitely all these tips that you've shared, it would make diving into cybersecurity a lot less intimidating for the testers who are listening in. We are on to the last question of the day, which is, what are some of the biggest challenges software development teams face in implementing a strong cybersecurity posture? And how essentially can these challenges be overcome?
Great question. First one, from where I sit, I think it's an awareness gap. You don't know what you don't know. So if you do not know something exists, there's just no way you're going to be able to, guard, everything against what exists. So that's the first one. I think many teams lack cybersecurity knowledge. Many teams. And that's not to say they need to go get cybersecurity degrees or start. No. Just the awareness for you to know this exists, it completely changes your perspective and your approach to the way you do things. So for that one, I would say one way to overcome that challenge would be conduct mandatory tests. I'm sorry, not test, training sessions. Conduct mandatory training sessions for the team. Let them get aware. Let them sit down. Give real life examples, data breaches that have happened, the reputational damage, financial losses that came to those organizations. It was very shocking for me each time I hear some of the data breaches or some of the things that have been done by hactivists, whoever, and I'm in awe. These exists, so you really do not know if you are not aware. So that's the first one, is that when awareness gap. Also, there could also be resource constraints. Okay, now we're learning that this exists. How do we approach it? We do not have the resources in-house. For example, even small teams. In small organizations, or it could even be a big organization, but who hitherto have never considered or prioritized security, may just not have. So in that case, they can start if it's, for example, a small team that do not have They can start using free tools, get aware, and then begin to see how, with time, even though that may be long time or in the immediate term, how can you get to recruit security professionals, or how can you, if that is something in available, how do I educate my resource that I also have? Also, another challenge that I see, which we have also talked about, is time pressure. That always exists. There are always tight deadlines. The product always ought to have been ready 2 weeks ago. It always, no, this should have gone live 2 months ago. No, this should have, phase one should have gone live 2 months ago. There's always the time pressure. And with time pressure comes the temptation to just push security by the side, push it to the back burner. And so one of those challenges is, I believe that an organization or a person that is big or considers security a priority needs to get a, have a balance. You cannot afford under whatever to put an insecure or non-qualitative product out there. The like I mentioned earlier on, the reputational damage I think is just it outweighs you getting to the market on time. And that also, like I said, you can also adopt a risk-based approach. If we really do have to go to market, okay, is it possible for us to have minimum viable products that we can get to the market on time? Can we reassess the entire product and look at, are there some parts that you feel right now I need to get to the market? Okay, can we move that to the phase one? Make sure we spend time on it qualitatively and move it out. Then also, it's also possible that some organizations may have legacy applications or legacy systems that when they were written or do not, they are not able to support modern security practices. So in that case, what do you do? You just have to, now that you're aware and you've seen that there is a flaw in the legacy system I have, okay, what are the compensating controls that we can put into place? How can we mitigate what it is in the interim until maybe you want to phase it out? Although sometimes those legacy systems may not be in the position to be phased out. So, what are the mitigation or compensating controls that can be put in place? So those are the few things that comes readily to mind right now, you know.
Thank you so much, Bukola. So you've really highlighted the crux of the issue, the challenges as well as the solutions, and I'm sure that our listeners would find it as very valuable advice. Thank you so much for that fantastic session. A huge thank you to Bukola for sharing her invaluable insights on weaving cybersecurity into the fabric of software testing. I'm sure that your strategies and real-world examples have provided our listeners with tools to elevate both the security and quality of software. Bukola, any parting words before we wrap up the session?
Word I would like to case studies out there are proof positive that security should be considered and taken really into consideration as a priority. And like all the things we've mentioned thus far, putting time out for qualitative products, it far outweighs the reputational damage that having to cut corners or having shortcuts will give to us so that we can derive from it. And I also like to just let testers know you can do it. There is nothing too unachievable about incorporating security tests. Just devote some time, take baby steps into what you want to do. And like I always like to say, wherever it is you find yourself, always look for how to get better, keep learning, and do the best with what it is that you are given. If all you have is just something so small, do it so well that everybody wants to look at it and is like, if she's got her name on it, she must have done something thorough about it. Wherever you find yourself with whatever it is that you are given, do it excellently such that you've proven yourself and you're in a position to take or handle bigger tasks. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Rukula. And to our audience, thank you for your participation. Don't forget to stay tuned for more enriching episodes of Lambda Test XP series, where we continue to explore groundbreaking ideas in the world of testing and QA. Until next time, take care and happy testing. Thank you once
Thank
again,
you.
Rukula. Have a great
Thank
day.
you. Thank you, Kavya.